I know we're about to talk about a serious topic, but let's just get started. Tell me about these stickers real quick. It's not the nicest sticker. It looks like that's a longboard that's a turd.
Yeah, that one's really gross.
This crab's cursing, screaming with his hands up in the air, or claws. And then this whale seems unpleasant. And this is funny. This is Zach's work, I'm guessing?
Yeah, this is all Zach. So Zach did 20 stickers like this in total. So we've got a broad range. And yeah, it's No Shit No Sara. And then the QR code there links to a website, No Shit No Sara.
Really? Oh yeah, you do have QR codes on all those. And so this is already all set up. This is running.
No, the website isn't live because what we did is I put out an announcement about this about a month ago on Facebook. Messaged most of the property managers directly as well to make them aware. And we told them, hey, this is going to go live next high season.
Okay.
Right, which is December. That's when we'll bring the website online. And, you know, this is going to message to tourists about their obligation to act ethically when they're visiting here and speak up if they find that they're, you know, either the properties they're staying at or the places they're eating are not properly treating their wastewater.
Dr. Edgeworth, you're back on the podcast. Thanks for being here. And it's always a pleasure talking to you, but sometimes you relay information that's wildly unpleasant. And I think that's what's happening today. So let's get into it. You sent out a message to the community and you also sent a message to property managers as you had just started. And what were you basically saying and why were you saying it? Give us the general overview real quick.
So with that message specifically, I'm pointing out that we're going to start targeting these absentee owners of rental properties that are not doing the right things about taking care of their wastewater.
Got it. So we're talking about wastewater, and your target with your message is the absentee owners, or if they're here owners, but it sounds like you're saying most of them are absentee. That's what you're thinking, and they're not paying attention to what they need to and investing enough in wastewater treatment or septic systems that are appropriate. Is that... that's what's happening?
That's a great summary. I think, you know, we should probably go back a few steps, right, and just talk about where we're at, right?
Okay.
Like 5 years ago, we started this process with Vanessa in the WCA, where she located and purchased all the equipment to run a lab to test sewage pollution in the ocean, right? And then that took quite a while to raise the money and then get the equipment together and import it and then set up and the lab characterized. But that's all done. About 3 years ago, I looked. 3 years ago was the first time that we really started publishing the results that we had.
Okay.
And that was in January of 2020. Vanessa did a podcast with you talking about this is what's going on. This is what we know now, which is that, yeah, that brown foam in the water is sewage pollution. It's not dried leaves or algae or, you know, a thousand other nice things that we would have preferred to find out it was.
At the time, if I could ask, were you in any way nervous or had any type of hesitation about us saying those results out loud to the world? Because when it first came out that we know for a fact there's crap in the water, here it is. Some of the people in the tourism side of things weren't too happy that we were sending it out like on a bigger level. Normally, you don't have any care about that type of stuff. You just want facts to be out there.
I do care. I think it's important to recognize that, you know, that tourism is such a critical part of the economy, and it's becoming even more so. And, you certainly don't want to do harm to people or their businesses. But the biggest harm that we can have is people spreading the word that No Sara is disgusting and polluted, and every time I come here and surf, I end up going home with diarrhea and an eye infection. And, you know, if that trend continues, then we'll be in far more trouble than just bringing publicity to the fact that we're not doing all the things we could be doing to take care of that.
Do you think red tide helped snowball the focus on this? Because we had a year of really unpleasant red tide.
The red tide is driven by a lot of other factors. It's not just localized pollution, although I think the localized pollution made red tide worse for us that year than it would have been, you know, had we not also been dumping a lot of fecal matter into the ocean.
Obviously, that but, at least they got attention, though. I guess that's what I'm saying, is the combination of that seemed to get attention to WCA, the efforts. More people paid attention to the podcast because they heard something was going on. Fast forwarding into today, we're at a spot where Nosara has grown a great deal. We had the post-COVID launch. The numbers that you were just alluding to before we started rolling, it's pretty crazy. So you've done a lot of research on this, and people right now are kind of thinking, oh, he's just some rich guy who's trying to do good and just flinging it out there. That's not the case at all. You're coming from a place of facts, it sounds like.
Well,
in strong opinion, but it is what it is.
So I think let's stick with the red tide for a minute. You know, I think we've got to count our blessings that we didn't get a red tide this year. Because if that had happened 2 years in a row, I think you would have seen some very serious harm to the high season. But tell you, I had two guests visit this high season, two groups of guests visiting at different times in January and in early March. Both of them went homesick. Both of them ended up with stomach infections, all kinds of nasty. And it's because both of them went out and they were surfing and learning how to surf and, you know, swallowing water. And that's not a good thing, you know. And if that experience that my friends had is consistent with the experience that most tourists have, that's going to add up over the years. And people are going to be like, yeah, no. It's great surf. I love it there. It's beautiful. But I don't need to come home and be sick for a week and have to go to my doctor. And, you know, that's going to harm us more than anything else. So we really need to get this problem under control as much as we feasibly can.
So walk us through that. Like, what do we do? Because we're sitting here with some, these aren't pleasant stickers. It's kind of funny for a second, but the reality is it's a sobering truth. I think you're trying to catch attention.
No, and humor me, because there's a long process here of how I got to this point, right? Because, you know, we're talking about 3 years of working on this, pushing people to make changes. This is not something that I've come to overnight. First of all, where's the problem coming from? I think it's really important to understand this. You know, Vanessa's sampled the estuary. She sampled going up the Quebradas. And we know the source of the pollution that's ending up in Guiones and in Pallada is the vacation homes here. Okay. There is a lot of pollution in Rio Nosara too. I wouldn't recommend swimming in the Rio Nosara. But that pollution ends up going out to sea and doesn't really affect the beach areas in any significant way. But what we do know is that the estuaries that are fed only from creeks that pass by vacation homes, the gringo homes in the beach area, they're full of contamination.
Okay, so massive. Some people say it's the farms, it's further back, it's more of like the Tico farms and whatnot.
Yeah.
You're saying...
No. For the pollution that we see on the beach is driven entirely by the Playas de Nosara Asada zone, which is, you know, largely just the gringo homes. So it's us. We are the problem, okay? The other thing that I think it's really important to understand is it's not getting better over these years. And we've had some nice results the last couple of months. Since it started raining, we haven't had a failure yet, although we've had a couple close ones that were at the threshold, but that didn't quite kick over. But earlier in the year, when there was no rain, we had a huge fail in Guiones, where it was 10 times over the safety limit.
Jeez.
And by the way, the safety limit isn't anything I would call safe. When it triggers that limit, the World Health Organization estimates that if you go in the water at that level, you have a 10% chance of getting sick. So the case in March where it failed, there's a couple interesting things about it, but that sample was 10 times over the limit. So you think about the extent of the contamination that was involved there. It's very serious.
Yeah, almost no rain to very little rain and being 10 times over, that is very serious.
Well, and you think if the limit is a 10% risk, how much risk do you have when it's 10 times that limit? You know, it's really
Well, hey, speaking of 10 times, do we have 10 times more rental homes that have hit the market and that's it? Or is it big resorts coming in? Because you see some bigger projects that people are really upset about. Walk me through that, because I think that people would really be interested to hear your take on, say, resorts versus private homes. Like, can you?
Yeah, and we, yeah, we definitely we need to dive into looking at the numbers there. But we have a virtual resort that's bigger than most anything that's in Costa Rica in all the Airbnbs and VRBOs here. And we'll dig into that data. But this is, it's interesting to me when you look at all that results. We have literally thousands of rooms being offered on Airbnb. And that's definitely a driver of the problem. I think particularly because of people that are just using it as a cash flow and are making their decisions based upon profit rather than doing the right things.
All right. So that might have been your thesis statement, it sounds like. It sounds like that's what has you in arms with the stickers, and now you're suggesting renters give bad ratings on homes, and that's a gutsy move. That really has your attention for you to take it that far and then contact all the property managers, who I'm guessing probably didn't even respond because they don't want to hear what you're trying to say. Most of the homeowners are thinking, we don't make that much money, or I already spent so much money here, I don't want to invest more. It sounds like ethically you've hit a threshold, or either you're at the precipice of jumping off because you want to get people's attention.
I mean,
in a bigger way.
There is a dramatically different ethical situation when you're talking about someone who owns their own home, lives in it, and yeah, you know what, they need to make some upgrades to their system. Them making decisions financially about when they're going to do that and how they're going to fund it, that's one question, and that's really a private decision for them to make. On the other hand, if they're using that property for rental income, they're running a business, and their ethical obligation to do that in a way that doesn't have a negative impact on the rest of the community is vastly different, right? So when you talk about, you know, a restaurant that's got $10,000 a night in receipts and they don't want to spend $10,000 one time on a proper treatment system for their location, that's a vastly different ethical decision than somebody who's retired on a fixed income. You know, they've only got their pension and whatever capital they saved, and you know, they're making choices about pushing that spend out. You know, the impact that restaurant is having versus the impact of two people living quietly in their own home that maybe they only use a few months out of the year is just a vastly different story. You know, and same thing with renting a house. You know, if you own a house here, you use it, you know, just for your family 3 or 4 times a year, that's great. I don't really care what you do, to be honest.
I got you. So you're targeting
that high.
You're targeting whoever's bringing in, well, significant revenue or significant people. You have a real core issue with that. You're not after, say, just a family who's just using the home as a family type home.
Of course, because if you're there renting this house out, putting money in your pocket, and you're choosing not to spend money to do the right things about your wastewater treatment, you're literally choosing money over polluting the ocean. That's what you're doing. And to me, I see no difference between a person who's doing that and the corporations who turned the Ohio River into a flaming fire pit back in the 60s. It's the same thing. It's the same decision making. You're choosing profits over pollution.
Okay, now I get it. So, and for you, it's not just a particular one thing that you're mad at. Like right now, a lot of people are mad at bigger projects. People are mad at the hotels. People are mad at, well, every new thing we kind of get mad at around here when we like to get all worked up.
And, you know, a few people have contacted me and said, I hope I'm not on your list. And I'm like, I'm not keeping a list. I'm not interested in fighting with any individual about this, because we're not talking about one house. We're talking about, there's, I don't know, 800 odd meters in the local Osada. Of those, I think Nick has said that he thinks 70 or 80% of them need to have their systems replaced, right? I think it's better than that. I think it's probably closer to 50%. I know lots of my neighbors have treatment systems. Lots of people had a good system to begin with. But that still leaves you with, say, 400 houses. There's at least a dozen restaurants that have totally inadequate systems here. There's just no upside to fighting that battle one-on-one because there's too many. It just doesn't matter, right? But at a systemic level, we need to have those dozen restaurants clean up their act. We need to have the 400-odd houses that are, you know, just have a pipe in the ground that they're dumping and it flows into the quebradas. All of those have to be fixed. And this is the big problem we have right now because people are doing the right thing. Lots of people have made the decision to do the right thing. They're installing treatment systems. They're installing new septic systems. But the pace that it's happening at is so slow that we will never have an impact on the problem. You know, talking about 10 to 20 systems have been changed this year.
Right.
We need hundreds.
Let's go into that a little bit further. Mm-hmm. What can you and I do? Because the person who you're trying to get to might not even see this. Like, it might not even get to them. Like, there's a good chance people who are watching this are people who are already concerned and maybe have already seen us talk before and heard what you're doing. They're kind of already on the side of wanting it to be better. Like, what? Walk us through, like, talk us through the action plan. You know, or is this why you're going to do what you're going to do with the rating system? Like, just take us through that. Like, walk us, guide us, man. It seems like a really challenging situation.
It really is, because we need pretty much everybody to pick up their share of the burden and fix this.
That almost never happens unless something's on fire and everything's going crazy.
Even when it's on fire, I mean, we did an enormous amount of road work on one of the roads here. And it was, you know, it was like $25,000 to get the repairs done because it had been, you know, allowed to go bad. And there'd been a lot of construction activity, which dramatically made it worse. It got done and, you know, the people who had been responsible for the construction activity really stepped up and did a good job of contributing their share of that. And then the rest of the neighbors kicked in a bunch of money as well. But when I look at the total, half the people in the street didn't pay a dime. So, you know, that's the reality we're working with. And we're seeing a similar thing in that of the people who live here and have been made aware and know that they have a problem, what we're seeing is about half of them are deciding it's too expensive and not doing it. And, okay, I don't think that's right, but that's what's happening today. And to me, again, you know, if it's your private home and you're doing your own thing and you got your own business, it's your karma. It's none of my business. But if you're running a business, that's not right. You know, if you're running a restaurant that's selling margaritas for $20 a serving and you've got a bathroom that was set up for two people, as there are several restaurants like that in this area, I don't know how you sleep at night. I really don't. You know, you're literally taking a problem that would cost you one night's receipts and refusing to fix it because you'd rather put that money in your pocket. And to me, I don't understand you. I don't understand how you can be that greedy.
So the restaurant, that made sense. Will you quantify house-wise, residential house or rental house, what fits those parameters? That made sense in the restaurants, and I get it. When does it go from a house that you're like, all right, it's cool, I get it, whatever, no big deal, be you, you're not doing that bad of a damage to the environment, to where it hits your trigger button, to where you're inflamed? Because all around where we're at right now, you have new construction homes that are bigger, some have separate apartments, some, there's just a lot of different varieties of construction here. And remember when we started talking years ago, we were all still scared of resorts, but it turned out, well, Gilded actually did a pretty good job with their water treatment system.
Absolutely.
Bodhi Trees as cares, like, and they actually really are doing a good job. That new project down in Esperanza that everyone's so mad about right now, they're actually doing a great job water treatment-wise compared to, say, your other stuff. So You pulled me aside a couple months back. You're like, Rich, we were also scared of the results. The resorts came through Airbnb houses, and we were all looking over here. We'd have been better off if big resorts did come in and did it right, because we can't afford to do accurate treatment plans. I'm doing a bad job of synopsizing what you were trying to say, but can you explain to anyone listening, like, where are you coming from on that? And
so again, it's when you start renting it. When you start renting your house is now a business. It's not your residence. It's a business. And as a business owner, you have a responsibility to act in an ethical way. So yeah, it's the line is really crisp and clear. If it's a private residence, you don't rent it ever, fine. But the day you put it on Airbnb, just because, oh, guess what? I'll get 10 grand over Christmas. Okay, but that 10 grand better be going to a septic system.
Okay, got it. Right? So that helped me understand. The moment it goes into rental for you, it's ignited. You need to take care of it because it's not just a single family. Now it's a business with more bodies coming through.
Don't get me wrong. I don't believe that anybody should have a single family home that doesn't have a functional waste treatment system. That's wrong too. But that's on you. And more fundamentally, we don't have any leverage with these people, right? But when you move into this being a business, okay, there are ways to make businesses accountable. And ideally, that would be a governmental method. But, you know, the truth of where we're at right now is that the government is just not set up to address these kind of first world problems,
right,
if you will. You know, the government here has their work cut out for them on just keeping the roads open.
We always come back to this with the building regulations, with the roads, with every topic we hit. The government doesn't have the funding or the ability or capacity to go and be the solution. So we have to be the solution. What you're saying is we're not doing it anywhere near fast enough rate, and the people who were sort of trying didn't buy the systems and install them because it's too expensive, but that doesn't take away the drastic increase of Airbnbs that are out there that are renting on the side. So you see this problem snowballing into something that we can't get back? Is that why you're taking action and wanting people to go rate rental homes negatively if they're not up to speed? Because it sounds like you've hit a moment of shit or get off the pot, pardon the pun, but...
Well, if you remember when you and I first talked, which again was, you know, about 2.5 years ago, I said then, you know, a lot of people are really angry about this. They want to get the pitchforks and torches out and really go after individuals that they think are problematic. And I said, you know, we should not be doing that. We need to educate people. We need to educate them, firstly, that there's a problem. And I hope by now that we've reached this point where people recognize, yeah, we've got a problem with the pollution on the beach. And yeah, it's coming from the vacation homes. But again, we need to give people time to digest that, to get their systems inspected so they understand where they stand, and then give them time to budget and then actually get the work done to fix it. So that was 3 years ago. At this point, if you haven't done anything in 3 years, it's because you don't care. Or it's because you're like Steve Jobs and you want to pretend that you have no idea about the fact that my iPhones are being manufactured by slave children in Asia. So it's crossed a line, right? 3 years ago, give people time. Let's teach them. Let's educate them. Now it's much more, all right, you know, we did our best. Clearly, you don't have any intention of doing the right thing unless you're forced. So we have to figure out a way to get leverage on these people. And to me, they're running a business, so what they care about is money. They're clearly making money-based decisions that they don't want to make these investments. So I'm going to go after their money. I'm not going after the tourism business. I don't want to damage that. We're going to do it in a way where the messaging is very clear that we're targeting the bad actors. And those bad actors deserve to get one-star reviews on their VRBO. It's that simple. And this is not an accident, right? I've heard, you know, a handful of stories on million-dollar houses where people rented them $1,000 a night, and multiple stories, different houses of people having their toilets backed up. The maintenance guy comes out there, starts digging around to see what's going on, and he breaks open the sewage pipe. And the tourists are standing there getting covered in their own sewage. But then I go into VRBO and I look at those properties and they've got 5 stars. So what happened? You know, the owner paid off those tourists, probably gave them a next to free stay because of it, who knows, but paid them off to the extent that they didn't give a bad review. And that's good. I mean, they deserve to get, you know, a huge refund when that kind of a circumstance happens. But the message that I have to those tourists is, you have an obligation to us. You have an obligation to everybody who lives here and everybody who chooses to come here for their vacation to speak up about these bad actors and the fact that they're polluting the ocean on us. So I don't see any choice but to bring these messages directly to the tourists, and we're going to hit on very obvious things. If your toilets are backing up while you're there, obviously there's a problem. If there's a sign in the bathroom that says you cannot flush toilet paper, that's a confession that there's no adequate wastewater treatment on the property. You know, these very kind of obvious things will be what we're flagging and what we're asking people to score as low as they think is reasonable in terms of their reviews.
Can I try to say it back to make sure I understand
sure.
it right?
Please.
So your action plan is going to the guests, because what you're saying is for years you've been trying to get to the homeowners, been providing evidence. The evidence is now indisputable. You waited 3 years patiently for Nassara homeowners to get their act together. Now what you're going to do to get them to do the right thing, because ethically they're not, they're running their house as a business and they're not doing their septic properly. So what you're saying is you're going to go to the guests, ask them to rate the house experience very low, as long as they have evidence. I think you had said if they have evidence, as in the sign that says please don't flush toilet paper right off the bat for you, that's an immediate
yes
red flag. That means somebody's in the wrong. And then what was the other one?
Toilets just backing up.
Okay, so just improper. Okay.
Right. That's profoundly obvious.
So if either of those two happen, you're asking for tourists to go rate it as negatively as they can comfortably.
Yeah, and explain why. Right? And then it's up to the market, right? If the next guy that books a hotel is like, I don't care. I don't go mega. I like polluting the ocean, you know? They'll keep renting it. I don't think that's what'll happen. I think people will stop renting those properties, and then the owners will have no choice. Either they sell the property and sell it to somebody who will act responsibly, or they're going to have to fix their system.
Okay, right? I'll be the homeowner for a second and here answer the homeowner. So the homeowner hears this, they're like, what the heck? I don't make that much money. I use the house a couple months of the year and we rent it out when I'm not there to offset expenses, and we never quite make it, and I don't have enough money to buy one of these adequate septic systems. So I'll have to get to that later, but I can't do that right now. And I think you're taking it too far by asking my guest to post one star. I'm not against the environment. I just don't have the extra money to do it right now. What would you say to that person?
I'd say they're completely full of shit and they're dumping that shit in our ocean. Like, really, fuck off. Seriously, that if you think that you're justified in having this kind of a property and not taking care of the environment properly, you don't belong in Nassara. And I hope you leave.
Talk about that for a second, because I over the years, I have realized there's definitely people who don't belong in Nassara. So elaborate on that, please.
Well, I mean, I think it's a straightforward thing, right? If you can't,
if they don't have the money, and they're saying that it's not as simple for them as you may think it is, I'm asking you, because I'm telling you, the homeowners listening out there,
Having the money is bullshit. All they're doing is they're making different priorities in their life, right? That's like, well, I can't afford it and buy a new truck this year. I can't afford it and go to Europe on a vacation. Reassess your priorities. You are dumping shit in the ocean intentionally. That should be your highest priority, period. So redo your budget. Start with, we have to put this waste treatment system in.
And they've had 3 years.
They've had 3 years to do it, so they're not going to do it unless there's some sort of, you know, pressure. If this was, you know, Canada or the United States, these houses would be getting red tags, unfit for human habitation, and it'd be over. But that's not the circumstance we're in. We're not going to be able to get the Ministry of Health in Costa Rica to do that in this time frame. So there's no ethical justification for saying, I can't do this.
Does this, you know, same strategy apply? I guess you mentioned restaurants earlier, then rental homes, specifically rental homes. Are those the two categories that you're talking about?
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know what to do about the restaurants. I don't think that any of this is going to have an impact on restaurants. So I'm at a loss on that one. I hope somebody has a good idea on how we can put pressure on, you know, these restaurant operators that just choose not to do the right thing, because I don't know what to do. I'm dumbfounded, because, you know, a lot of them will say, oh, well, I don't own the property, I just leased this property. But really, did the property come with your grills and your stoves and your dishwasher? No, it didn't come with any of those things. You put them in because you need them for your business. Well, guess what? You need an operable toilet for your business as well. And so that's, to me, that's totally false narrative. Particularly for the restaurants, it doesn't have to be super expensive. You don't have to put in a $50,000 waste treatment system. You just put in a retention tank, have it trigger an alarm when it hits 80%. You call the pump truck, they pump it out, and you're done. And you have 100% clear conscience at that point, because there's no way for that wastewater to end up, you know, getting into the environment. And so you're talking about a couple thousand dollars to install a tank like that. And then you have an operating expense of pumping the tank. But that's just the cost of doing business. And when you're selling $20 burgers, you can afford it. But having said that, I have no idea how to get leverage on these people. And I hope somebody else has a good idea.
Got it. So restaurants, your personal action plan is just boycotting those restaurants, but the numbers in Nosara are up so high across the board. How much?
We'll go into these numbers, and it doesn't matter if you and I boycott those restaurants or not, because the tourism dollars just absolutely swamp us out.
And tourists want to go wherever the right location or the right product is. They're not thinking this through. They're not thinking through the septic. They're just going on their vacation and trying to go where they want to go.
Right. You know, we really want a message to these people that they have an ethical obligation to us, and that they should be looking at things like that. Are we going to restaurants that are doing the right things? And hopefully we can influence some of them, but I don't think it'll be enough to make any sort of an impact on the restaurants.
All right.
I'm sure that we can have a real impact on the rental houses. And I think very quickly these people will get in line, or they'll sell their properties.
Can you use this platform to get your message to property managers, because property managers are the conduit of communication?
So I've already messaged all the property managers.
How's that going?
None of them responded in any substantial way at all. You know, I considered that we would, you know, kind of highlight property managers that were doing the right thing, but I don't think there's any leverage there. They're not the ones that need to spend the money. And they can certainly be communicating to their clients that, yeah, this is a problem and you need to work on it. But that doesn't necessarily equate to the clients making an investment decision to spend the money. So that's why we're just, I'm building awareness with them so nobody can say they're surprised. But I don't think they're the place to make change.
I can't say this. That's a tough job. It sucks. It's horrible. It's very unpleasant. I do know that. And I also know most of the property managers are sending the monthly statements and needing those people to send more money down. So when the property manager gets a message from you that says, hey, we need to get this stuff going, will you please do the right thing and get this message out there? I think they all want the homes to operate well. I agree with what you said earlier. I don't think they have the best chance of getting a receptive homeowner to say, yeah, that's a great idea, I'll do it. I think it's more like, okay, send me a couple statements with some profit in there, and then let's see what's up. But for the meantime, I guess I have to go repair XYZ. So I think the property managers are in a tough spot, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the reality is, you know, some have talked about firing clients. I know that some of them do ditch clients where the house is clearly problematic and it's just making too much work for them around these kind of issues. But I don't think that makes much difference, because the client just goes to somebody else.
There's more property managers coming every season. There's more realtors. There's more of everything coming in every season. So somebody doing the right thing and is not the solution that we want it to be, because somebody else fills that just like that.
Yeah. So it's not the choke point. And that's why, beyond informing them that they should be passing this information to their clients, that's all my emphasis is with property management.
I'm learning and understanding where your rating system's coming from. Sounds pretty harsh at first, but after you talk about it and explain yourself, you're saying this is your only way to make this necessary thing happen, and you ethically feel the people who are in the wrong.
I mean, we're literally talking about someone who knows they have a problem, looked at the price to fix the problem and has decided they're not going to take action because they'd rather have that money in their pocket. So you tell me, how do we address something like that when we have no governmental power engaged? The only way I see is by getting these reviews to reflect the negligence of these property owners and hitting them where they seem to care, money. You know, if that's the only thing you care about, then fine, we'll go after your money. And hopefully do that in a way that we don't damage the rest of the overall tourist business. And I think we can achieve that, because the reality is this kind of septic pollution problem is not unique to Nosar. You know, I saw a thing in the New York Post that was talking about like 80% of the beaches in the U.S. have this problem on at least some days through the year. So I don't think it's an immediate deal breaker for people coming and visiting to have some awareness that we have problems with pollution, because everywhere does. You know? But just because everywhere has a problem doesn't mean that we have to accept that the problem is here and not improve things.
I get you. So those are all good points, and I appreciate you explaining it at this level.
Yeah.
Can we jump into some of the evidence and some of the stuff that you were going through earlier for statistics?
So this is a website that is a data aggregator for Airbnb and VRBO. And what they do is they buy API access to Airbnb and VRBO's data, and they give you these data slices on different regions and what the rental market is. And this is driven, you know, this company makes its money off investors who want to buy properties and then run Airbnbs. So it's, you know, I'm kind of using it for the office.
You're flipping it around.
What it's intended. But, you know, I subscribe to the service, and they have a Nosara region. It runs, you know, we'll pop this up, but it runs down to Garza and then, you know, fairly deep inland into Nosara town. But it shows 857 properties for rent on those two platforms in this area.
How many, I can't remember exactly, how many meters does the Asada account for?
Less than that. There's about, I think, 750. I can't recall the exact number, but in that range, in the Nosara Asada. So
there's
basically
this shocking number. Even Garza in the outer areas where I wouldn't expect to see this much.
Yeah, and particularly, let's look at the growth numbers. So what I did is I pulled the data from 2019, just from June of 2019 versus June 2023, which is...
Okay, just pre and post enough COVID to have a balance.
Right. So that's this sheet. You know, and what you see here is absolute stunning growth in the number of properties. And that shouldn't be a surprise. We've all been listening to the construction. But what's a surprise to me is the fact that it's clearly driven by this investment demand. And I didn't realize that at all. I thought that we were talking about something that was driven by these remote workers, by people coming here to have their kids have a year or two away and be educated in a different environment. Because that's what you see every day, and that's what you encounter when you're talking. That is not what's driving what's going on in this town. It is very much an investment-driven tourism business. So I think it's really remarkable there. If you look at the number of one-bedroom units, you know, that's increased 88% over those 4 years.
That's the most shocking thing for my eyes, and I'm surprised to see that. I'm not surprised at the two modest 14. I'm not surprised the 47 at three-bedroom or 41 at four. I expected that, which is still high. The one bedroom, 88%, when we thought it was families, and it seems like it. So is that like these individual pop-up units you're seeing, or somebody doing an extra apartment? Are they just advertising it as a separate?
I think if you look really closely, there's both going on, right? Everybody's got a little kind of granny suite going on that they're renting in addition to their house. That's a very common setup right now. I mean, I have two. They were here with the house, so it's not a new thing. But, you know, I know of at least three in this area where they had an existing house and they added a one-bedroom unit for rental income. So that's one factor driving it. But I think you can also look around and see places where people have popped up 4 or 5 units instead of a house. And, you know, you look closely at it and you go, wait a minute, that's not actually a house, is it? There's kitchen, bedroom, kitchen, bedroom, kitchen, bedroom, you know, and you know, you have a very small property that could be hosting 20, 25 people at times, because it's just, you know, a large number of these one bedroom offerings.
Yeah, that's a curveball.
Yeah. So, and one of my first reactions in seeing that 88% growth in the one bedrooms is, wow, are they saturating the market? You know, are they having problems filling these things? So I pulled up the next thing, which is the occupancy. So this is month by month occupancy, again, 2019 and 2023 going back. And surprisingly, what you see there is that the number of units that are actually rented has gone up. So there's more units, almost twice as many units when we talk about those one bedrooms, but they're also rented substantially more during the year than they were in the past.
Our low months on here, I can see it right away. Our low months of May and September are, there's a lot more people coming here.
Yes.
I don't know if that's because post-COVID, a lot of the Tika populace started coming out here. Are maybe it's flights or people just wanting to get out and away. But May used to be very, very slow from a rental side. September as well. And this is indicating otherwise. That's a significant increase.
It's still slow, right? It's still slow. But yeah, you're going from like a 30-odd% occupancy to 45% occupancy, which is a very large boost in a relative percentage there. It's still a low season. There's no question about that. But what it's showing is that North Star is becoming more and more popular as a year-round tourist destination. So you've got a lot more units available to rent, and they're being rented more often. All of that leads to a lot more waste load that's coming on this ecosystem that's already saturated. You know, so this is driving things to get worse, unless the systems are dramatically better in terms of treating the waste properly.
Do the small places like the one bedrooms we're discussing and the smaller two bedrooms, do they still meet your criteria of you want the poor reviews to come in?
Absolutely.
And so for you, whether it's a big house cranking them out or it's a tiny one, same thing.
Yeah, it makes no difference in terms of the impact on the rest of us. You know, you get, oh, I just have a really small house, so it's totally okay that it's dumping sewage into the Cabrata. No. How is that okay?
Well, I don't think it's okay. I think there's a lot of people out there who maybe even listen to this. They really, or we as a species, we love to blame someone else. They're doing it worse, so I'm not as bad. I think there's a lot of that going on.
I think you're right about that, but it's no justification. And ultimately, the only way that this problem will get better is if everybody steps up and does the right thing. It's just absolutely necessary. One of the people who was attacking me on Facebook about this is like, oh, you know, I'm just a poor school teacher. I bought this lot in Palata 15 years ago, and then I put up a bunch of container homes on it. And now I discover that I need a new septic system because the one my builder made for me isn't good enough. And this just isn't fair to me. I'm a poor school teacher. And again, it's bullshit. You're not a poor school teacher. You're a very successful real estate speculator. You've made hundreds of thousands of dollars in profit on your land investment and on your construction investment. You can turn around and flip that property today and make a huge profit. And that's what you should do. If you don't have the money to fix the septic system, sell it, and sell it with a contingency of a payback to cover the improvements in the septic system.
I don't have much cash. I have whatever job I have, but I did buy something in Osara way back when. You're saying that whoever achieved their profit in their equity, if they don't have the cash to do the right thing now, you're saying they should sell and fix it on their way out.
If that's the only thing they're willing to do, yes. Because they're little Donald Trumps. They're not poor school teachers. They're little Donald Trumps, and they've made hundreds of thousands of dollars in profit on their real estate investment.
What if they don't have
And
the
if
cash?
They can't manage that investment properly, they should leave. Period. And then if you don't have money, there are plenty of people who will lend you money against your $900,000 property. It's nonsense, right? If you want a hard money loan to get your septic system put in, there are plenty of people here who will make that loan against the property you own.
The septic systems, almost all of them are offering some sort of financing.
I'd like to say that's true. I understand that Bionest has some sort of financing they're doing with BAC or something like that. But I really don't know the detail, and I'm not interested. It's not my business. I don't care where you get the money from. You know, you can call me a Sunday televangelist, you know, sell your car. I don't fucking care. Just fix it so that it's not my problem anymore. Because you don't have a right to make it my problem that you can't take care of your wastewater. You just don't.
Keep going.
All right, where are we? Okay, so yeah, now this is the final one. So this pulls up, and the numbers boggle my mind here, but this is market revenue in Airbnb and VRBO, okay? And, you know, I have some doubts about whether this is true because it's so huge, it boggles my mind. But even if it's not true, because the methodology is the same
from
2019 to 2023, we can definitely say that the relative change is probably accurate.
I see.
And this is... this is mind-boggling, right? The growth has been big, but the revenue growth, we're talking about, it has tripled. So we've gone from $18 million in rental income for the entire region in 2019 to this year, as of the end of June, $45 million in revenue, okay? And this is where I just said, okay, we have no choice but to address this tourism market because it's where all our problems are coming from. And that kind of money just swamps what any of us are doing who live here full time.
Got it. So this right here eradicates...
$45 million.
I get it. This eradicates the people, in your opinion, who are saying, well, I didn't make enough money, or I'm not making that much money. The time's not right. I don't need or have an ethical reason to do it right now. You're saying that's all BS. Look at these numbers. It's tripled in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Shut up and fix it, or sell your stuff and get out of here. That's what you're saying.
I mean, we talk about resorts. That's like two or three large hotels worth of revenue. You know, it's just divided up among a whole bunch of people.
But as you pointed out, the hotels are the ones that are doing it right, ironically.
Of course, because, and that's the unfortunate thing, right? With a hotel, you have leverage. The government actually will go in. And, you know, of course, the hotels, fortunately for us, the people who own hotels here are generally very responsible individuals, and they're doing the right thing. So, yeah, you look at Gilded Iguana, they have two people on staff taking care of their treatment system full time. Same thing at Bodhi Tree. You know, Olas Verdes, again, they're very responsible about how these things are being treated.
Remember when all of those projects started, the chaos and how much anger and heck, we're having protests and stomping, walking around on things like, you're saying we have, saying that we don't have our anger and whatnot point in the right direction?
No, it was badly misdirected. To me, the most ridiculous thing was watching people protesting the Gilded Iguana and then going to certain nearby restaurants to celebrate what good people they are when those restaurants, will openly admit that they're dumping water into the ocean or wastewater into the ocean. To me, it was just ridiculous. You're angry about the wrong things, and go ahead and be angry, but it's just you're picking the wrong targets.
So what came and blew up the place wastewater-wise in the wrong way was private individuals building basic private homes that they've now expanded into an Airbnb enterprise, and now you're calling them mini Donald Trumps. And with the equity and their investment, that means everyone should do the right thing. Did I kind of get it there? You're saying all those things?
No, I'm not saying all those things, but that's okay. This is one factor, right? It's a big problem. And, it started with the first houses that were built here where they just built a pit with rocks and the wastewater poured out into that pit with rocks. And some of those houses are still occupied today and still have the same treatment system. They're probably three times as big as they were back then, and they're lived in year round, whereas they weren't before. But the problem has developed over the whatever 30, 40 years that people have been here. And it's developed organically and it's developed in different directions. But I think what I'm pointing out here is that in the last few years, it's become a big business. And, you know, if you go on YouTube, you'll find these, you know, make lots of money through cash flow people talking about Nosara as a great place to own properties. And it makes me suspect that there are people out there that own 6-10 homes in this area that are doing this and that, you know, have no real investment in the town at all. They don't care about the town. They care about it as a cash cow.
Mm.
And we need to have a way to get leverage on these people to make sure they do the right things.
Because I think most of the homes here actually don't cash flow at the level people want. I think that it's just really a fun place to be and it's a fun place to park money, but I don't think most of the homes here really profit all that much. And I understand where you're coming from. I'm not saying the equity's not there. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm saying as the property manager sends those statements, as people are moving through their busy life, very few of them, I think, are willing to click and watch the Bioness discussion we had or to look into XYZ. I think they're just moving through. I don't know how we're going to reach them. I don't know how this is going to make a difference.
There's two things. Yes, this is very true. I can tell you that I don't make any profit renting my guest houses because by the time I add up all of the maintenance expense, it does a good job of defraying those expenses. And those are expenses I would have one way or the other. So that's real income, right? And just because it's not cash flowing doesn't mean you're not making a profit off of those things, right? There are different kinds of profit. And literally everyone here has a very large capital profit, regardless of their cash flow profit. That's what I'm saying. If you're not willing to do the right things of making the capital investments you need to operate your house properly, then you should sell and take the capital profit you have and go buy a condo in Hako because that's what you're cut out for. But yeah, lots of properties don't cash flow here. And if you buy one house naively thinking that it's going to cash flow, odds are good it's not, especially, you know, it's very expensive. If work isn't done properly, you're going to be doing it 3-4 times. You're going to do it every single year. It can very quickly consume any sort of revenue you have. It's not necessarily a good investment. I don't know why anybody would invest to own a vacation property far away from where they actually live because it's just so hard to manage that. But
that's a whole nother podcast there.
Let's go back a bit. There are people making a lot of money on Airbnb.
There's some that do very well.
Yes. So hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in Airbnb revenue. And this shows that you can bring up, you know, the top revenue homes and they start over $400,000 a year in revenue for small properties in Gyonis. And at least one of those properties is someone who's chosen not to make their repairs because it's too expensive.
And that's your target number one.
Well, I think people like that should have consequences to their actions. And this is the only way I see that we can make that happen. But I think it's really important to understand that we're generally talking about 1% of your property value is the investment you need to make to have a system that works properly and will last 20 plus years. So it's frankly ridiculous to say, I can't afford this. And if it truly, truly is that you can't afford it, it means you can't afford to own the property. So you ought to take your profit. Well, there's still a profit because if we keep polluting the ocean like this, there won't be a profit for anybody. But yeah, these people need to move on and give it to somebody who can properly maintain the property and, you know, keep us in a place where this is a, you know, natural paradise.
Dr. Edgeworth, I appreciate you as always. Even when we disagree, I appreciate you. And you have a way of scaring me a good bit.
I don't think we need to be scared about this. Things can get better. Things will get better if we work on it. But if we ignore it, it's going to get worse. it's going to get a lot worse.
Before we go, why don't we have a regional water treatment plant? You hear about it, and I've had several people on the podcast come and talk about that or mention it. And around town, I hear it mentioned, and people also message me sometimes, hey, I've been watching your stuff. Why don't you guys just do this? Well, we have that where I'm from. Why don't you do that too? And when I've talked with you about it, you were very much on the other side of Rich. It's not realistic. We have to do it this other way. Can you explain that?
So I think it's important to recognize that we don't have a unique problem, right? And the nice thing about not having a unique problem is you can look at what everybody else has done and learn from them. So in the long run, a waste treatment plant is the only solution. But that long run is way too long to even talk about it in terms of the problem today. Tamarindo 10 years ago was where we are today in terms of recognizing they had a pollution problem. 10 years ago, they decided that they would pursue a regional waste treatment plant as their solution. They are still 10 years away from getting an actual plant in place. So I'm not interested in 20-year solutions. I'm just not. The other thing about waste treatment plants that makes me reluctant to push that in any way is that it's tremendously expensive. It would be probably be $15 to $20 million in capital to make it actually happen in a sustainable, feasible way. And that inevitably drives density of the population. So if there was a treatment plant, you'd see way more condos, and see way more multi-story hotels. And that's not the future I want to see for Nosara. Unfortunately, in many ways, it's already here. But yeah, the bottom line is that it's good that people are looking at that, and we should be thinking about that in the very long-term view, but it's not going to fix the problems in the next decade. Next decades. So I'll probably be dead before it happens.
What percentage of people paid towards that road? About 50. What percentage of people do whenever something hits the fan around here? It's not 100%.
No.
You've said multiple times in this conversation, what we need is everyone to do the right thing. And every time you say that, it breaks my heart just a little bit, because I can't think of any time everyone's done the right thing outside of fire or flood.
So first of all, if 50% of the people do the right thing, then our problem will be 50% smaller, right? But other things will happen there, right? If half of the people in this town have gotten their systems up to spec, they're not going to tolerate the restaurants that aren't up to spec. They're not going to tolerate their neighbor dumping wastewater into the front road, which, my God, there's million-dollar brand-new houses down the street here that dump their gray water into the street still. Things like that will not be accepted by anyone, and it will be a lot more than 50% very quickly. And, you know, equally, some of that 50% that aren't going to do anything, they need to sell and move on. They're not cut out to run a business like this. And they ought to recognize that while they have a profit that they can take.
Any last messages while you have this platform? We've covered a lot of interesting, albeit gross, info. We've covered a lot of ground today.
I don't know. I truly am hopeful that things will get better. You know, I think we really want to say how much I appreciate Vanessa and the WCA, the group of volunteers she has that's collecting this data for us every week. And I guess a quick plug, Vanessa is still struggling financially. She's working on, I think she has a membership program she's using now to try to establish a baseline of revenue so she can continue to do the good work she does in so many different dimensions, right? She's working on environmental issues and such a wide range, from the turtles to wildlife preservation, just tracking the different species that are present here and trying to understand how we can preserve that. So I think, yeah, anybody who can, I would encourage them to join up and be a member of the WCA. She has nothing to do with this, and I think she's a little reluctant about the direction I'm going here. But frankly, I don't know what else to do. And especially, I don't know what to do about restaurants at all. I hope somebody else has an idea of how to put pressure on them. Because they're a big source of the problem at this point.
Well, just coming in and being willing to say this publicly in this format is commendable. I hope this message reaches the right people.
Me too. And if it doesn't, they'll start seeing the reviews. Sorry. Not sorry.